Welcome back to Fork This with Intoxicate. I'm Intoxicate Kate Slunt, your host, serving up info to tantalize those taste buds every Tuesday from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com. Now, if you're looking to book your next night out, make sure to keep it locked right here, or for a personal recommendation, you can hit me up on Facebook or Instagram at Intoxicate Foodie. Of course, that's Intoxicate with a K. I am currently sitting at the beautiful The Spread in Greenwich, and I'm so excited because it's a brand new location, just totally industrial looking. It's a Thursday night, the bar is packed, and sitting across from me is one of my favorite people, and we've never actually met face-to-face before, but I can say that you're one of my favorite people without us even talking, because I'm a huge fan of your food. It is Chef Carlo Baez, who is named a couple of things. He's best chef in Connecticut by Connecticut Magazine. He's being honored this year by Serendipity Magazine. He is the executive chef of The Spread in Norwalk and Greenwich, and of course El Segundo in Norwalk, which is, okay, we'll have a conversation about that in a second. But how are you doing?
I'm good. Very good.
I'm excited to have you.
Very excited
to have you. It's a real honor. I'm going to add another honor to your lineup, to your roster, and that is going to be the Intoxicate Menu Crave. Have you heard of this before?
No, first time.
It's basically people in the restaurant industry who I have a total foodie crush on. So there you go. There's another one to add to your roster. You're officially an Intoxicate Menu Crave.
Sweet. Thank you.
Now, tell me a little bit about the concepts at your restaurants. Let's start at The Spread. So what are you doing here?
The Spread, it's a global cuisine, but we've been getting nominated a couple years for Best American. Mm-hmm. We reflect on the menu, a couple items from France, Italy, couple Spanish, and I do my touches from my background.
Mm-hmm. Which is
Mexico.
Mexican. Oh.
So everything gets infused in one entire menu, and then and things that people don't normally see on the menu, like a beef tongue, they find it on our menu.
Mm-hmm. I get excited about that.
And it's what we do. I mean, you find sweetbreads on the menu 1 week, and next week you find a dog breast, and nothing say on the menu permanently. Mm-hmm. Instead, only our 4 or 5 items that we have on the menu since the day that we open, but everything else changed. And we work with farm.
Yeah.
We work with a local farm in Ridgefield, Horseshoe Farm.
Okay.
And kind of on the summer, it's like a mystery box. You get $200 of produce, and he's like, hey, I make something. And I create my menu with that produce that he sent me.
It's so cool because you have kind of like your episode of Chopped in the real world, like every week.
Pretty much, yeah.
So I know also El Segundo has this amazing lineup of really cool international street foods.
Yes.
So, you know, I interviewed Chris Hickey a couple of months ago to talk about the concept there. And I always ask him, and I'm so glad I'm asking you now, how are you such an expert at so many different cuisines?
Well, I'm still learning. And it's a couple things that we put on the menu, and I wasn't happy with it. And a couple days after, we took it off. But I've been, since I was a child, I was working with my father in his taqueria in Mexico City. Mm-hmm. And when I came to the States about 20 years ago, I start working on a seafood restaurant where the basis was a clam bake and fried shrimp and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But after a couple years, I moved to this very good restaurant in Rye, New York, they call La Panettiere.
Mm.
And it's where I kind of like learn how to do the French cuisine.
Mm-hmm.
And just like working pretty much in different restaurants and different chefs, I learned the Italian, the Korean, the Japanese. I was a sushi chef for 2 years in Mamaroneck.
Wow, you have done it all. You're like a sponge, though. Like, you're one of those people who's kind of like a jack of all trades, where you're going to these different locations and then just absorbing as much as information you can. And now you've got this lineup of three restaurants who have these stellar global cuisine menus that are so incredible.
Yes, and honestly, it's like a dream, because to be nominated, like, most creative chef and best chef in Connecticut, it's an honor.
Yeah. And don't forget the menu
still,
crave.
Yeah, that one too. And I'm still learning. I'm still playing with flavors, mm-hmm. playing with veggies that I never worked with before.
Mm-hmm.
But happy to bring into the menu and to keep people, remember to people that it's a healthy options to eat. It's just like the way you will make it.
And yeah, that's true. It's very true. Is there something that you're playing with in the kitchen right now that's got you kind of excited?
Well, right now, at the moment, no. But I'm still, like, I spent almost 2 hours at the farm today talking about seeds and what we're going to grow for the season.
Mm-hmm.
He already started growing daikon radish, kohlrabi, a bunch of different colors, potatoes, and we see the maple syrup that he make mm-hmm. about 2 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
We taste it together, and we talk about a lot of dressings and recipes that I want to implement on the menu.
So it's been kind of like a give and take relationship with you. Not only are you getting produce from them, but you've actually influenced what they're going to actually grow moving forward.
Well, we actually lucky enough that he's not growing for anybody else. He got he's going to sell on the Wilton Farmers Market, mm-hmm. but besides that, we are the only restaurant who's going to carry his produce.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's
that
really amazing.
That is really amazing. All right, I want to get real with you really quick. I am a huge fan of those spicy noodles at El Segundo. Really a huge fan, okay? Elise is also pointing to herself saying, me too. Do you sprinkle crack in there?
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit. Just a little bit, just to get you so addicted. Those spicy noodles, though, I will tell you, I'll wake up and I'll crave those. And you're one of those restaurants that I can't look at Instagram, because if I look at it in the morning and there's something super enticing, that's all I can think about for the rest of the day. So it's a little crazy to me.
It's amazing.
And there's another thing, another thing that I tried recently, and I'm blanking on the actual name of the dish, but it's the tuna with that, like, roll. It's like a roll.
Oh, the summer roll?
Yes. Oh, my God. I put that up on Instagram, and people went nuts over that. But that is, like, one of those, like, very, like, clean tasting. Like, it feels like I'm putting healthy goodness in my body, but it also tastes amazing.
The summer rolls and that spicy mayo, mayo, it's the right combination.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of the things that I kind of say that I'm good with it, because mm-hmm. I wouldn't put something on the menu if I don't like it. And those items that you just mentioned, it's kind of like simple but super tasty
mm-hmm.
at the same time.
And you said changing the menu pretty regularly. How long does it take you to kind of, test all these different recipes and make sure that they're exactly the way you want them? Because you seem like a perfectionist. Exactly the way you want them before they get printed on the live menu.
El Segundo menu changed twice a year.
Okay.
And it's one for the summer and one for the winter. So right after I finish pretty much with a winter menu, I start looking on a summer menu.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's kind of hard to switch a lot of items of the menu, because people going back for the same item, if we take it off, they get upset.
Yeah.
But we've been doing it for the third time. This is going to be our third change of the menu.
Okay.
And we already got a couple requests. They're like, the fried noodles. They want to keep seeing it on the menu. So,
isn't it wonderful to have people like me saying, no, don't take that off the menu?
No, it's really amazing.
Now, Elisa was telling me before we kind of got on air here that you have a lunch special, or a lunch that you're serving here in the Greenwich location at the Spread.
Correct.
That runs Monday through Friday, and you have an a la carte menu and a prefix. Can you tell me a little bit about those?
Sure. Well, on the a la carte menu, we got the BLT, which is maple glazed bacon with a spicy mayonnaise, roasted tomatoes and baby arugula and a shibata bread. We also have a burger. We do the brick chicken, the same thing that we have at the dinner menu. But if you want to get a prefix, you got either a small plate, medium-sized plate. You can either choose a chicken, a sandwich, a burger, or a pasta. Mm-hmm. And you also get a dessert.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, we're doing that for $23.
And oh, that's a great deal.
From Monday to Friday.
That's fantastic. And did you find that you had a lot of people looking for lunch in Greenwich?
It's definitely a business for lunch in Greenwich because I see a lot of office and corpus around. Mm-hmm. And we started doing it about a month and a half ago. Mm-hmm. And every day it's getting a better day. We're getting more people, and I'm sure friends, one person told it to another two persons, and they help us to spread the word out.
Oh, I'll spread the word too. Don't you worry. And I also heard that you are starting your happy hour in Greenwich. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
We're going to start the happy hour next week, next Thursday. That's going to be the kickoff. And we're going to do kind of the same that we have in Sono, mm-hmm. with a little twist. So we got the tuna sashimi tostada.
Okay.
And we're going to do the pork wings. We also got pork belly bites. And I'm still working on the menu to finalize it, but that's on some of the couple items that that we're going to be serving in Greenwich.
I'm excited about happy hour because, you know, it's always a happy hour when there's cocktails and food
involved. Happy hour from 4:30 to 6:30. Come and get a really good bite and a couple drinks.
Yeah, a couple. Just a few.
Just a couple.
Right? Because you have to be able to drive
early.
Home. Now, I also want to talk to you about the key to running a great kitchen. Because I know you are running essentially three restaurants.
Correct.
You have the two in Norwalk. You have the one here in Greenwich. You probably cannot be in three places at once, I'm assuming. So what's the key to running really fantastic kitchens where you can kind of walk away from one and it still runs like you're there?
Well, I think the key is treat people with respect and trust people because they know I'm training. Like every time I open a restaurant, I spend at least 5 months in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
I work 7 days, 75 hours a week, and basically I'm teaching the guys how to do my recipes, mm-hmm. because when they come and looking for a job, they know how to cook.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not teaching people how to cook. I'm teaching people how to do my recipes or how to duplicate my recipes.
Mm-hmm.
And I spend at least 3, 4, 5 months every time we open a restaurant. And basically, I trust people what they're doing. And I go back in the kitchen many times in a day,
mm-hmm.
and taste everything. And once they got it, we can move on another recipe and things like that.
Are you currently taking any interns? Because I am available. I will learn all of your recipes.
We will. Anybody who wants to come and join the team, they're welcome to.
Oh, I have to join the team? I actually have to work? Okay.
You have to join the team, yeah.
Now, I know spring is around the corner, and I know I've seen it already in some menus. The spring ingredients start to kind of spring up, no pun intended. But is there a spring ingredient that you're really excited about, you can't wait to start cooking with, that you've been missing all of these, you know, winter-long months?
Last spring, actually April 20 to May 15,
mm-hmm.
me and my partner Chris Hickey, we went to harvest ramps, mm-hmm. and fiddleheads.
Okay.
So it's one of the things, it's actually very special when you see the people picking up the ramps,
mm-hmm.
and bringing to the kitchen and cooking with it, create a dish or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think it feels more special when people like what we make with it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a couple things that I can't wait. I know it's couple weeks ahead from now, but mm-hmm. Definitely ramps and fiddleheads.
I know. If it only would stop snowing, it would be really great. You're hitting like my two key favorites because I literally on last week's show talked about ramps and fiddleheads and how I can't wait. Ramps are like my all-time favorite thing.
It's one of the veggies, or one of the that you can only get it once a year. And
it's true. And now, do you use the whole entire plant, or are you one of those chefs that just uses
no,
the leaves?
No, I use the entire
plant.
Yep.
And fiddleheads, what are you planning on doing with those this year?
Fiddleheads. Last year, I used it with the duck breast.
Ooh.
This year, I think we're going to make a pasta with it.
Oh,
almost
I
like
love
a carbonara.
Oh.
But it's a couple things that we can do. Also, maybe a pork belly dish.
Oh, gosh. I'm getting so hungry, Chef. It's getting crazy. And then the other question I wanted to ask you, too, is you always seem to be on the cutting edge of everything, right? You're using all these flavors all the time. You're always hitting the trends. Is that something that you aspire to do? Are you getting inspiration from somewhere? Or is it just something that kind of comes naturally for you?
Well, I got a good friends who are local chefs in Connecticut, and Bill Taby and Team LaVan from the schoolhouse. I remember a couple years ago, I was like, I want to be like those guys because they're really good chefs in Fairfield County.
Mm-hmm.
And now that I got the chance to cook with it, not just like being on the same, I don't want to say level, but on the same business,
mm-hmm.
and cook with them, I think that more motivates me to keep doing better for myself. And I read a lot. I watch a lot of cooking channels,
mm-hmm.
because a good recipe could be anywhere. I talk to my mom a lot, and she shared a couple recipes with me.
Mm-hmm.
But that's pretty much what
keeps me. Is she still in Mexico?
She is in Mexico. She comes like twice a year.
Oh, nice.
And my daughters, I got two daughters. One is 4, the other one is 12.
Aww.
The younger one, she wants to be a chef.
Aww.
And she comes to the restaurant sometimes, and she watched what I do, and she's like, oh, can I help you? Can I do this? So she helped me and everything, and it's really fun to see how your child want to be like you one day.
Yeah. Are you cooking at home? You probably don't have any time to cook at home, do you?
I actually, in my days off, I cook.
You do cook? Oh, I bet you that's got to be amazing for her to be able to be in the kitchen with you.
Yeah, no, she peels the garlic, she dices some onions.
Aww.
But yeah, always with very, you know, it's some love and teaching progress.
I love that. I'm in. Okay. We can't talk anymore because I'm starving right now, and I know you have to get back to the kitchen. So thank you so much for coming on the show.
You're very welcome.
You were
thank
great.
You.
Thank you.
Well, we have to take a quick break. You're listening to Fork This with Intoxicate. Keep it locked right here at 1490 WGCH.